Hello, and welcome to Noir on the Radio. I'm Greg Barth, and joining me tonight is crime fiction and noir author Daniel Vlacity. Daniel Vlacity is the author of The Church of TV is God, Amphetamine Psychosis, Only Bones, and A New and Different Kind of Pain. He lives in the Chicagoland area, where he works as a substance abuse counselor. And I'm glad to have Daniel on because I read both Only Bones and also A New and Different Kind of Pain this past week, and I was just blown away. I read them in one sitting each, and they're everything you'd want in a fast-paced crime fiction, and then some. So, Daniel Vlacity, welcome to Noir on the Radio. Thanks for being on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm really excited to be on. Thanks.
Great. Yeah, so congratulations on your release of A New and Different Kind of Pain that just came out this past week. If you would, tell our listeners, you know, a little bit about the book, what they can expect when they pick it up, and just, you know, anything you'd like the listeners to know about it tonight.
So basically, the book is told pretty much in real time. It's about a guy who is told to go pick up a bag of money. Some things happen. He loses the bag of money, and then he basically spends the next 24 hours trying to make up for that mistake. The mob boss that he works for, Anthony Benedetti, he's like a father to him. Sometimes money can come between a past relationship, and I just kind of thought that I wanted to show what people will do when money's on the line, basically.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's definitely a gritty kind of story, I would say, and I can't stress it enough. You know, if somebody asked me for the best examples of, you know, hard-edged fiction, you know, no punches pulled, that's out there right now, I'd put A New and Different Kind of Pain at the top of the list. I bet if I went through and counted the pages that didn't include at least three or four F-bombs, I could probably only count the copyright page. And personally, I think the publisher should have thrown one in there on the copyright page just for this book. But, you know, I really love this kind of story. So what is it that draws you to write this kind of tough noir, and how do you make this happen?
Well, I just try to write stuff that I would like to read that wouldn't bore me. So I just kind of wanted to do a book that was no fluff, no real – I mean, there's some backstory in it, but it's not really – it doesn't really change the speed or the flow of the story. I just kind of wanted a story that – once it started, it didn't really stop until the end.
Well, you definitely delivered that. No fluff, not boring, nonstop. Those are great descriptions. And you know, this one, A New and Different Kind of Pain, it comes on the heels of another release, about 6 months ago, I'd say, also from All Due Respect Books, called Only Bones. And maybe we have some listeners tonight who are unfamiliar with that one. Can you tell us a little bit about it as well?
Yeah, so that book is about a bike messenger who has a drug habit, and he doesn't have enough money to continue to use the amount of drugs he normally uses. So his drug dealer, to make up for a debt that he owes him, he has him start running packages. And on the first delivery that he does, he gets tangled up in some other drug dealers, crooked cops. So he's trying to manage all this while also basically just staying high, and, you know, things kind of come to a head with all that together.
Yeah, you really feel the amphetamine-driven part of the story in the writing as well. I mean, it goes pretty quick. One of the things I loved about Only Bones, well, you know, first, it's a great story, but also I like the stylized writing, the short sentences, short paragraphs, a lot of short one-sentence paragraphs, and a lot of attitude in that one. And it, you know, it kind of put me in mind of, you know, people like James Ellroy, Chuck Palahniuk, that kind of thing. So I'm curious, you know, about why you chose that kind of style. It works very well, especially for, you know, a character who's really amped up like that. Is this something you put a lot of thought into, or you just kind of heard the story that way in your head?
I actually, kind of both of those, really. I wanted to write it with a frenetic pace like someone who would be on a like 5 or 6 day amphetamine binge. So it's told in first person, so you're kind of experiencing it as he's experiencing it. The short sentences, the choppy writing, he's doing, like, that's how he's thinking as he's doing all this stuff because his, you know, his mind is so amped up on amphetamines. So it was a conscious effort to do. Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, the style definitely enhances the story, would you say?
Sorry.
So you put a I wasn't sure if I'd cut you off there. You really put a a fresh spin on the crime genre. I'd say an amphetamine addicted bike courier caught up in a drug dispute with crooked cops, and then a lost money story where the money is the catalyst, but it really comes down to, like you say, how the tough guys in the story kind of deal with their lack of trust of each other, and those relationships, break down and turn violent. How do you keep those ideas fresh and avoid cliche in your work? Because you do it quite well.
Actually, I focus more on the characters. I think I try to. I mean, I'm doing Different Kind of Pain. The story could be cliched because it's just about a guy who works for a mob boss and loses a briefcase full of money. It's not that original of an idea, so I tried to take a different spin on it and just focus mainly on this guy and as he's trying to keep everything together around the case of the lost money. I just tried to focus more on him. Same with Only Bones, the Daniel character. I just focused on him as opposed to really the stuff that was going on around him. It's really mainly focused just on him.
Yeah, it really comes across as fresh and original. Now, your books, at least I know Only Bones and A Different Kind of Pain take place in Chicago, and there's a strong sense of being there that comes through in your stories. How important is that city to your fiction?
I think it's pretty important. It's kind of really all I know, so. When I was writing Only Bones, especially, I mean, because it goes, he's all over the city on his bike. So I was really conscious of, it's pretty geographically accurate. I made 3 changes in Only Bones as far as geography goes, but I wanted to keep it very true to Chicago.
Have you, have you worked as a bicycle courier before?
I have not. No, I rode my bike basically all over Chicago to and from work and just around and stuff, but I've never actually worked as a bike messenger.
Okay. It kind of comes through, though, the experience in the city on the bike. And the book, A New and Different Kind of Pain, and along with Only Bones, these aren't, 400-page monsters. There aren't pages of exposition, no flowery description. They're about as lean and cut down as you can get, and the result is they're just compulsively readable. I've asked this question of a number of writers on the show, and I'd like to kind of get your take on it as well. To me, the short novel or novella length seems to be just perfect for this kind of fiction, that hard-edged noir story. So first, do you agree with that? And if so, why do you think that is?
I do agree with that. I think, me personally, I like them. I write them and I read them because of my attention span. I think I like to sit down with a book and read it in 1 or 2 sittings because you're so immersed in it that you don't have to, if you're on the train to work or you're doing something, you don't have to keep cutting off, especially in a fast-paced type book. I think you want to read it in 1 or 2 big chunks.
Yeah, I agree. I think that really that's the beauty of this era of ebooks and independent publishers. Like all due respect, you can really get into a fast-paced piece of fiction that doesn't feel bloated by description just to meet a page count demand by a traditional publisher. So I think we're kind of in a golden age at this point of these short novel crime stories, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I've got to say.
When I was in college, I was in writing class and stuff, and they always told us that you have to write novels. They have to be 250 words, they have to be, or 250 pages. No one's going to publish, a 70 to 100 page book. But I think with like the ebooks and independent publishers coming up, I think it's really good that you actually see a lot of that now.
Yeah, me too. I tell you, I almost can't read, something put out by the big five these days, because, the first page is going to have so much meaningless description that I just can't get through it. I want the story to start. So that's the beauty, I think, of, publishers like All Due Respect Books. They do that so well in the short novel form. And I think a lot of these things, especially yours, would translate very well into, say, a 90-minute crime fiction movie.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I would like to see that happen.
I would, too. That would be cool. Shifting gears here just a little, let's talk about the craft of writing. What kind of writer are you? Do you outline? Do you fly by the seat of your pants? Do you write every day? What does writing look like for you?
I'm definitely not a write every day kind of writer. I write in chunks. So like Only Bones, the first draft I wrote in like 12 days, and then I didn't write for like 6 months after that, which isn't that good. And I'm not trying to. I would like to write every day. I just can't sit down and write every single day. I generally don't outline, but I actually did outline A New and Different Kind of Pain. When I started writing that book, we had just found out that my wife was pregnant, and I was working on an inpatient psych unit, but due to like political reasons, we didn't have any patients. So I basically worked the night shift by myself in an empty psych unit, and I just sat down and outlined this whole book over like a week and a half, and then I wrote it also while I was working there because we didn't have any patients and there was nothing to do. But that was the first and only time I ever outlined. And it was a good experience and I liked outlining. I just can't do it anymore. I haven't been able to do it again.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way in the sense that I don't write every day, not, pecking away on a keyboard anyway, but I do tend to write, in my head. I'm always dreaming up scenes or, imagining things, and, sometimes it'll stick to something else. And then when I'm ready to write, I've got a few things to write about. But, I would say the next book I've got coming up, Everglade, I wrote it in 12 days also. And it seems there's these manic moments where everything kind of clicks and you're writing, but, to sit down and try to inspire myself to write something daily that's not inspired. If it doesn't keep me up at night to write it, I can't imagine it keeping anybody up at night to read it. But
I
do respect people who write every day. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
So when did you realize that you wanted to write?
Most writers say that they knew they always wanted to be a writer. I actually didn't start writing until I was in college. I went to Columbia in Chicago, and I started as a photography major, and I hated that. So at Columbia, you have to have a major. So I was just like, I'll do writing. And I just kind of fell in love with it. Like after that, it wasn't something I always wanted to do, but once I started taking writing classes, it's something I want to do now.
Yeah. Who would you say, which writers would you name as major inspirations or influences on you?
So I definitely came up reading like, Charles Bukowski, Chuck Palahniuk, Irvine Welsh. So I think those guys are really influential to me, maybe not in the type of, or the stories that I write, but just how I think like, Charles Bukowski has really dry, short sentences. And I think I took that from him. I like Jerry Stahl really good. My favorite thing ever is Dennis Johnson's Jesus His Son book. That just showed me how to a different way to write about a drug addict, I think.
Yeah, I haven't read all of those, but I can definitely see, Bukowski, Welsh, Palahniuk, as being, inspirational for you. I think that you're kind of in that vein with your style of writing. What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about being a writer?
I guess just sit down and write. I mean, everyone can talk about this book that they're going to write, or, you know, I talk to anyone, they're like, oh yeah, I got an idea for a book, but you really just have to write it. I don't have that good of advice, because I'm trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing, but I think you just got to sit down and write, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's where it happens. There's no formula that works for everybody, I wouldn't think. I think it's more about, I don't know. I think it's writing is a deeply personal and lonely kind of thing. You know, publishing, on the other hand, is like a team sport, you know, and getting it out there in front of everybody, that's that can be a little scary. But yeah, I think it's one of the, probably one of the most deeply personal things anybody can do is sit down and write. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so, because, I mean, especially in some of my books, there's a lot of, I mean, I write in first person, so a lot of my characters have pieces of me in them. I'm not like a super badass that's running around like fighting everybody in Chicago, but just the way that my characters think and stuff is kind of how I actually think. So figuring out how to put yourself into your characters and then how the people who read them are going to react to that, I think that's a pretty personal thing to do.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what the character in A New and Different Kind of Pain, was his name David?
Yeah, David.
So what really intrigued me about David was, you know, first of all, he is such a badass. You know, in the first chapter, he's walking in and, you know, beating someone. He's paid to do this, you know, as kind of a, you know, a justice thing or revenge thing. But he's surprised when he takes a punch. And what I noticed with that guy throughout the book is he's very confident in his ability to be tough and to fight. But he never comes out unscathed in any confrontation that he's in. So I would say you keep it real with that character. And I would also say the same for Daniel, I believe it was, in Only Bones. You know, there's that, while these are tough guys, they're not invincible. They're not superheroes, right?
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, you see that in, like, the action movie, the badass hero, like, never takes a punch or anything. That just isn't realistic. I think, I mean, even if you're just in a normal street fight, like, more than likely you're going to get punched or kicked or something. So, yeah, I just tried to keep it more realistic, I guess.
Yeah, you feel that this guy, he may not come through the story unscathed. I'm not gonna give anything away, but you definitely keep it real. I think of writers as entertainers, and I'm always interested in what entertains and, you know, inspires others. So, what kind of things are you watching, listening to, reading these days?
I haven't actually read any novels yet this year. I've been reading a lot of comic books. I like a lot of what Image Comics puts out. As far as what I'm watching, I just watched that Bosch show on Amazon, and I thought that was pretty good. My wife and I are watching Homeland, which is a pretty good show. Movies, I haven't been to the movies in, like, years, I feel like.
It's interesting you brought up, you know, comics. I've kind of gotten into those a lot lately too, and I'm discovering all these, you know, these great things like, you know, Ed Brubaker has got just some magnificent stuff out there, and can't think of the guy's name who wrote the Scalp series, but those are pretty pretty phenomenal. Yes, it's a great series, and I can't get enough of that stuff. I think that this kind of crime fiction, you know, in the graphic scene is really hot right now too.
Yeah, so what, I really, you know, like a lot of the. But I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. We want to hear you.
Jason Aaron also writes this comic book called Southern Bastards, and it's like it's a Southern noir. It's like really gritty. It's a really good one. If you haven't checked that out, I think you might like that one too.
Yeah, I've read the first three. You know, they put them out as collections of the issues. I've read the first three collections, and that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. What new and exciting projects are you working on these days, and what can we look forward to from you?
So I have a bunch of stuff I'm working on, or I'm like kind of planning out. I haven't actually sat down to write anything in a while, but I'm working on a book, or I have an idea for a book called Methadone. It's about a heroin addict who kind of is like a PI, but not really. He's just helping out an ex-girlfriend. I'm kind of seeing that as a kind of like a three-book series. The second one would be Shit Paradise, and then Suicide Pretty would be the third one. Other than that, I have a book I'm trying to write called Animals about an underground fighter who gets mixed up with some bookies and stuff. So Good We're Gone is going to be kind of like a revenge story about a guy who comes home from prison and finds out everything's not how it used to be. Those are the three that I'm kind of really focused on right now.
Nice. Yeah, I can't wait to see those. So, Methadone, and you said the second was Shitstorm?
Shit Paradise.
Good stuff. Good titles. So where's the best place, you know, for people to find you out there on the web and keep up with you these days?
Obviously, Facebook is the main thing I am on for social media. I'm trying to get better at Twitter. I have a Twitter. I use it sometimes. I'm trying to get better at it. I have a personal website that I haven't updated in months. It's danielvelacity.com. Other than that, I think that's kind of all the places I'm at online. I do write for two comic book websites, Comic Bastards and Multiversity Comics. I do reviews and news articles and stuff.
Very cool. Yeah, if you ever figure out Twitter and how all that works, let me know because I have a hard time with that one. I think when William Faulkner had that quote out there where he writes to leave on the blank wall of oblivion the message that Kilroy was here, I think he was talking about Twitter. I'm not sure how that one works. So Daniel, thanks so much for coming on the show and talking to us about your work. I can't wait to see the next things that you have coming out. It's really been great having you on tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a really great time. Thank you.
Yeah, and for the listeners, I encourage you to check out A New and Different Kind of Pain and Only Bones and anything else Daniel Velasquez has written. Grab them all. Get ready for some great fiction. You can find them all easily on Amazon. You'll be glad you did. These are fast-paced, one-sitting reads that you're going to love. The Old Man and the Sea versus Moby Dick. I mean, these are that good. They're lean and mean, and they'll leave a bruise while you read those. Join me again next week. My guest will be crime author James DiBiasio. He's the author of Gaijin Cowgirl and Bloody Paradise. You want to be here for that. So until next time, this is Greg Barth with Noir on the Radio. Noir on the Radio is a copyrighted podcast solely owned by Authors on the Air, Global Radio Network, LLC.